Okay.
This interview is with Mr. I.T. Steenerson, who served as mayor of Moorhead from 1957 through December of 1961. And this interview was held at Moorhead State University on Moorhead State campus on November 26, 1984. The interviewer is Wayne Ingersoll, and I am representing the Heritage Education Commission. Ing, I think I'll call you Ing if you don't mind.
That's fine.
I think what we'll do here first is just try to establish some of your background. I know a lot of people have wondered, what does IT stand for in IT Steenerson?
I think it's Ingerman Theodore.
Okay, Ingerman Theodore. And what is your present addressing?
3229th Street South, okay. Apartment 204.
All right. And you are how old now this time?
86.
Okay. And where were you born in?
At Erskine, Minnesota, in St. Paul County.
Okay. And what were your parents' names?
My father was Gunder and Steenerson, and my mother was Betsy Torius.
Okay. Were your parents born in this country, or did they come from...
My father was born in Norway. My mother was born in this country.
And where was she born?
Well, she was born in Becker County.
Okay.
North of Lake Park. Okay.
Do you know the story of how your parents met at all?
Well, my grandfather, that's my mother's father, had a hotel at Erskine. And my father came up there and started lumberyard. And my mother was at that time working for her folks at the hotel, waitress.
And that's how they met?
Yeah, that's how they met.
Okay. Looking at the birth dates, excuse me, here you were about, your father was about 35 when you were born then, approximately.
Yes, just about 35.
Yeah. Okay. And your father was Norwegian by nationality. How about your mother?
My mother was of Norwegian descent, too.
She was. Was she?
In fact, her mother was born in this country. Born in the east somewhere, but I don't know where.
Okay. Did you ever know your grandparents?
Oh, yes. I knew them well.
You did?
Okay. I knew both my grandfathers, in fact. One lived in Norway, but he was over here when I was quite small, quite young.
Okay. When did you come to Moorhead?
I came here in 1920.
Okay, you were about 21 years old.
Yes.
What brought you to Moorhead?
Well, I worked for Steenerson Brothers Lumber Company, and they had their general office at Felton at the time, but they already had decided to move to Moorhead, and their general office was moved in here in June of 1920.
Now, Steenerson Brothers Lumber, was that started by your father and his brothers?
My father and two of his brothers.
Okay, I think that's interesting to clarify, because I'm sure a lot of people today, 1985, think that Jim and Bob probably, and they're not brothers, but I think Howard Binford clarified that in his article not too long ago. What's your, and have you lived in Moorhead ever since 1920?
Well, I was gone for a little while. I was, the fall of 1920, I went out to Averill to run the bank out there. It's opened up a new bank, and our company was quite heavily interested in the new bank. We had a lumber yard there, and I went out there to run the bank. So I was there for 6 months.
Okay. How long did the bank last in Averill?
Oh, that lasted all the time until they're the first bank in Clay County to open up after the bank holiday.
Really?
Yeah.
It must have been pretty solvent then.
They were solvent.
Good management. What's your educational background, Ing?
High school.
Okay, in Erskine?
No, I graduated from high school at Fawson.
All right.
But most of them had my first 3 years of high school in Erskine.
Okay.
Then my senior year at Fawson.
In what year did you graduate?
1916.
All right, okay. Now, you've been, for many years, a very prominent citizen in Moorhead. You've been involved in politics and a lot of civic church organizations. When did you first become involved in local government?
Well, I think the first time, very first time, was when Rudy Berglund was mayor. He asked me to serve as an appraiser on some property with one of his aldermen.
Can you give us a timeline of that?
About 1944.
All right.
445.
And you had been in business about 20 or 25 years in Moorhead.
No, we hadn't opened up the yard in Moorhead at that time.
All right.
We had our general office in Moorhead. We opened our yard in Moorhead in 1946.
All right, but you worked in the general office in a management position?
Yes.
Okay.
I became general manager, secretary and general manager, following the death of the former person who had that position in 1931. He passed away.
Okay. Now, you had not been involved in actual politics in local government up until that time?
No, I'm not a politician at all.
Okay.
My background largely was management, and then in many cases leaders in committees and organizations.
Okay. Well, I want to ask you something now. Maybe I'm jumping ahead a little bit. I know, is George Ann Steenerson your daughter-in-law?
No, she's a... Okay. Her husband is my nephew.
All right. I have that, and we'll get back to that in a little bit. I know she is active in the Republican Party locally and
yes,
has
she
been
is.
For some time. Were you ever active in partisan politics
No.
beyond the city level?
No, I haven't.
Okay. Would you say you are currently at all involved in any kind of government or politics at the local level now?
No, not at all.
Not at all?
No.
Okay. Were you on the city commission at all, pardon me, the city council before you were mayor?
No.
All
but
right.
I did serve 7 years on the Public Service Commission.
And that was
three of those years as chairman.
I see. And that was an appointment?
Yes, that was appointment.
Was that under the Joe Young regime? While he...
Yes, Joe was there all the time that I was
okay.
there.
Okay.
Joe and I were very good. Joe was a top engineer.
Okay. I'm the one having the interview, but I have to digress a little bit. When I graduated from high school, I got a summer job with the Public Service Department.
Oh, I see.
And I spent, I would say 10 or 15 summers working for them. So
oh, yeah.
I got to know those people well. And you're right, I also thought very highly of Joe Young. Tell us how you became mayor of the city of Moorhead.
Well, Thornley Wells resigned his position to become county commissioner. And there's considerable pressure put on me by some of the aldermen I knew. And I finally decided that I'd try it. I felt that the city had been very good to me and I wanted to give something in return.
Okay. You were pressured by a lot of people to serve as mayor. I think that
to start with, several of the aldermen. Outside that, nobody knew about it, I don't think.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and when did that appointment take place? When
in July.
Of 1957?
1957, yes.
How long had Thornley served as mayor up until that time?
That was about 2 3/4 terms for him. I think he'd had 2 full terms and then was on his 3rd term, I think.
Now, was he elected to the county commission? Was he appointed?
I think he was appointed because there was no election at that time.
Okay. You sounded like you hesitated a little bit at first to accept the position of mayor.
Yes, it took me about 2 weeks to make up my mind because I didn't know what I was getting into. And I spent 2 weeks studying the charter and what took place in city government.
What did your family think about this during that 2 week period?
My family, they were quite supportive.
Good. Okay. Do you think your occupation as a manager in the Steenerson Lumber Company and the main office helped you or hindered you at all?
Oh, yes, it gave me a good business background. And that was my object, to try to have a business administration in the city.
Did you have a pretty good relationship with the aldermen?
Very good. I had a good council all the time I was mayor, an excellent council.
Who was the chief of police at that time?
Les Bielefeld.
Okay, did he, had he just come on during your term, or was he...
Well, no, he was appointed before, but he stayed on.
Okay.
And I think he was there all during my term as mayor.
Ken, you were mayor for approximately, well, a little over 4 years.
Yeah, four and a half.
And you were elected for one term after that, or to two?
Two terms after that.
Okay. And then you decided not to run again?
Yes.
What was your reason for
not
running
again? Well, the reason that I filed for mayor was that I had some things that weren't completed, and I wanted to complete those before I went out of office.
What were some of those things that you felt were important for you to complete?
Well, one was when I was on the Public Service Commission, our contract with the Garrison Dam for power. That was one of the deals that weren't completed when I took a reappointment on the Public Service Commission. And there were several things hanging fire when I left the mayor's office, and before I was elected to office. There were several things hanging fire. I don't recall which they were, but there were quite a few things taking place. We had the public library and trying to keep up with the growth in the city.
What do you think was probably the most important issue that came up during your term?
As mayor?
Yes.
Well, keeping pace with the growth, probably, of the city, because more than for two decades, their population increased 135%, and we were trying to keep up with that growth.
Was the Planning Commission in effect
Yes, the planning
existence.
Was in the commission, in effect, and I believe your father was on the
planning
commission for a while, but he retired shortly after, a year or so after I became mayor.
Okay.
He wouldn't take the nomination again.
Did you have any disappointment during your term of office that... sticks in your mind, is anything that took place or didn't happen that you would like to see?
Well, something that didn't happen, of course. I was hoping that we could have gotten better passage between North and South Moorhead, because we had two railroad tracks and two highways to cross. And I would like to see underpasses under the two railroads and highways.
And
never did take place. I had mentioned it to some of the aldermen at the time, but I didn't want to push it because there might have been the conflict of interest there, because our yard was on the north side.
And
so I didn't want to push it.
And now, 28 years later, after you first took office, that's still an issue that's coming up, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay. One of the questions we'd like to ask, what role did state and national problems, such as the economy, that depression, recessions, did that have much to do with the 4 years that you were mayor?
There was only one slight depression or recession, I think, during my term, and it didn't seem to affect Moorhead. It didn't affect Moorhead's growth at all.
Okay. One of the questions we have here, and I think it's a very interesting one, says, what was the power structure in government at the time you were involved, the time you were mayor? And I think, having lived in Moorhead all your life, I think you're well aware of the fact that a lot of times the power structure in a community doesn't have a lot to do sometimes with the elected officials. The influence and the power can come from other places. Would you like to talk about that? Anything that you can enlighten us with at
that
time?
Well, I think my councils almost entirely were pretty conservative with spending city money at any rate. But the editorials at that time called us conservative, but not to the extent that we interfered in any way with the progress.
Were they, do you think, when a person says conservative or liberal, there can be negative conservatism and negative liberalism, or positive either way.
Well,
would you say it was a positive conservatism,
yes,
of the council?
Yes.
The fact that they did monitor the growth. Okay. Did you have anybody in particular, Ing, that you looked to for support or for advice during your term as mayor?
Of course, I had the city clerk, Paul Cook, and Jim Garrity. They're both very helpful.
Quite knowledgeable of...
Yes. Okay. Jim was city attorney, and Paul was city clerk. And whenever I had anything that bothered me, I'd go to one or the other, whichever might apply.
I think Everett Lisi and Bob Schaefer played that role for somebody several years later, too.
Yes,
very
yes,
knowledgeable.
Everett Lisi was an understudy of Paul Cook.
He
was Paul's assistant.
Extremely knowledgeable. How were you treated by the media or the press?
Very well. In fact, sometimes I think they were quite complimentary.
Did they cover the city council meetings quite often?
Yes, sir. I remember once I had to troop was going to executive session because there's an issue coming up that was very important to the city, but we couldn't afford to make it public.
What was the issue?
It was making charge for water mains. We didn't dare to make it. We were in lawsuit, and the lawsuit started by an individual in town, and we were preparing our case in that lawsuit, and I didn't want it to get into the press.
Did the press, was the press in your executive session?
No, they didn't.
How did the whole issue of the water main turn out?
Well, we won the case.
Okay. And can you talk about it a little bit? What were some of the problems that...
Well, we were going to charge for water services, and a very nominal fee, I think a dollar or something like that a foot. And it was when the city took 5% of the water income, and the water income couldn't afford any 5% to the city at that time. So we had to put on a service charge for the water mains. That was a one single charge for running in sewer from, or the water from the main line to the house, to the residence.
Where did the opposition to that come from?
From a former mayor.
Okay, was this mayor leading a...
No, he was mayor at the time. He was mayor at the time that we put that, or decided to do that, but then he sued us after he went out of office.
Okay, it was opposition from an individual, not from an organized group?
No, from an individual.
Okay. How do you think Moorhead has changed since... That's a pretty broad question. Okay, let's ask it anyway. How do you think Moorhead has changed since the time you were in office, you were mayor?
Well, of course, Moorhead has grown all the time, but the growth hasn't been as great as it was during that time, because that was the period of growth when Moorhead went ahead the fastest. I think they grew from about, 5,000-6,000 to about 18 or something.
When, during your four-year term, what changes do you think you were involved in? Long-term changes that were precipitated during your term as mayor?
Well, I suppose the benefits that have taken place since then. We got the new post office, of course, time I was mayor, and the city traded some property off for the old post office, and that, of course, became an art center.
How about the library?
The library that was built during that time, too, during my... And let's see what else. I had some notes here.
Take your time.
Well, during my public service commission, when I was on the commission, we added an addition to the power plant and a new boiler and increased our power production by 1.5 times, installed a new turbine, big turbine, and then later on we installed a gas turbine, so we installed 2 turbines, one steam turbine and a gas turbine.
If I remember correctly, that was out of Switzerland, wasn't it?
Yeah.
About $1 million, yes.
And,
well, during your 4 years plus as mayor, then, the huge addition to the power plant, a new post office, a new library.
Post office and library came during my term as mayor.
A lot of major improvements to the city, for sure.
So that's where they said that we didn't stand in the way of progress.
Not at all. And
but they classed us as conservative, the editorials.
Did you, after you were mayor, and you think your term was over at the end of 1961, and you were succeeded by whom?
By Dr. Bottles.
And that was his second time around as mayor, wasn't it?
Yes, he was a mayor many years ago.
Before, in the 40s, I believe, or
yes,
early?
Yes, I think so.
Okay.
About that time.
All right. Did you assume any other leadership roles in Moorhead, such as church, service clubs, school, anything like that, after you left public office?
No, after I left public office, I thought I was entitled to a little rest because I've been extremely active in
What were some of your activities in the church?
Yeah. I was on the original board of the Emmaus Bible Camp, served on that board for 25 years. I was on chairman of the sponsoring organization for Eventide Home, and I headed up 2 building committees for Trinity Church, one the parish education building, and then one to rebuild the church after it burned. And let's see, what else did I have in church there? Well, I secretary of the church, that was my first job there.
I see you're active in the C400.
Oh yes, yeah.
Club.
And I never was on any committee for that though, but I was on the Board of Regents of Concordia College for 9 years.
You were, what were those years? When was that time?
Let's see, I think it'd be on there probably.
Okay, member of the Board of Regents from 1956 through 1965 then. Yeah, nine years. And you were also secretary of the board and, as you said, member of the building committee. The committee of
yes, I was on the building committee of the college, of the board.
Now, in previously to becoming mayor, you were recognized as Clay County Man of the Year in 1953.
Yeah, that was in 1953, right. I think.
Now, was that one of the first years that they had Clay County Man of the Year, or was that?
No, I don't know. I think there were 5 ahead of me.
I see.
I think Joe Kesey was probably the first one.
Right.
I think probably that Clay County Man of the Year came largely because of my church activities and also my activities with the Public Service Commission.
Well, you had been involved in many, many things then before you served your city
yes,
as mayor.
Yes, mostly in, probably as leader in many of them.
Right.
Leader in the old people's home, one of the leaders in the Emmaus Bible Camp.
You've been a member of the Moorhead Masonic Lodge for over 60 years.
I've got my 60-year button this year.
Are you active at all?
No.
Okay.
No, I haven't been active for a long time.
Okay. And you were a former member of the Rotary Club?
Member of the Rotary for 17 years, I think.
Do you still maintain your membership with the Chamber of Commerce?
No.
Okay. And Moorhead Automobile Club, I wonder if that's still in existence.
Minnesota Automobile Club now, I guess.
Okay. And you are in Who's Who in the Midwest, Who's Who in Industry and Commerce, and Who's Who in Minnesota in different years.
It's also an English publication that I'm in.
Okay.
The last one there, I think. I can't remember the name of it. But
what effect did your involvement in city government have on your family and your family life?
My family was very supportive.
Did you find during your term in public office that you had to be out of town a lot?
No, I didn't. I delegated as much of that as I could. And I had to delegate a lot of the work at my job, too.
How many children do you have?
Two.
And what are their names?
Gail and Jim.
And how old are Gail and Jim now?
Gail is 60. And Gail will be 60 next year. And Jim is 56.
Now, Jim lives in Moorhead.
Yeah, he lives in Moorhead. He's general manager.
And how about Gail?
Gail has his own business, Lamplighter, up on 75 North in Moorhead.
Okay. Are the businesses connected at all, or are they separate?
No, they're separate. Jim, of course, is running the lumber company, he and Bob.
And you mentioned Bob. We said earlier a lot of people think Bob and Jim are brothers. They're not. Would you explain who Bob is?
Bob is Gordon's son. Gordon was my brother, so Bob is my nephew. He's cousin with Jim.
And Gordon died some time ago.
Yeah, he died 5 years ago.
Okay, and he also lived in Moorhead?
Yes.
Okay. How many grandchildren do you have, Ving?
Well, I have 8, but then Ruby's got some too in there.
So you've got quite a few. Okay. And
total of 15 then.
How long have you and Ruby been married?
12 years.
Okay.
See, we both lost our spouses about a year or two before we were married. But we'd known each other for 60 years, I suppose.
What was your first wife's name?
What
was your first wife's name?
Emily.
And was she from?
She was from McIntosh originally.
Okay.
She had taught at Erskine, and that's where I met her.
I see. Was she one of your teachers, or you just
met
her?
No, I just met her. I was up there on business.
Okay.
I lived in Moorhead at the time, but we had a lumberyard at Erskine, so I met her up there.
And when did you and Emily get married?
We were married in 1925.
Okay.
She died in 1973.
And you married Ruby in 1975?
Yeah, in 1973.
Okay.
It was fall, late in the fall. My wife died in January, late January, the same year.
Okay, and
Ruby and I became acquainted when I was in the bank at Avril. She lived there.
Is Ruby from the Clay County area?
Ruby's from Avril, yeah.
I see. Okay.
We used to double date back in about 1920.
Never got over her, did
you? I guess not. I found her yet afterwards.
Well, sure. And I think we can say here on the tape that what was Ruby's maiden name? I know her name was Solene
Johnson.
Ruby Johnson.
She's one of the Johnson girls.
Okay, not to coin a phrase. And I remember Ruby, too, as lady who managed the bookstore at Moorhead State University or college when I went there, and longtime service to the community and the college. Would you like to see your children in, or your grandchildren? Let's start with your children. Would you like to see them get involved in politics at all?
Not particularly. I'd like to see them involved in government a little bit, but not as a politician.
How do you define the difference between politics and government?
Well, I think the difference probably is that a politician is looking for a job. I never looked for a job.
The person can have a lot of influence whether he's elected or not elected.
Oh, yes. You see, my involvement in city government all came from appointments originally.
Okay. You only ran for 2 offices in your life, is that right?
Yeah, that's the 2 offices of mayor.
And you won them both?
Oh, yes. I had no opposition.
Okay. Okay, you ran unopposed. Okay,
yes,
that's quite an honor to have that, I think.
I had a few single votes cast against me.
I guess that's quite common.
In favor of someone else, I should say.
A lot of people, some people go to the polls and vote for themselves.
Like this. 1 year I had 6 opposing votes, another one 3.
Probably the same 3 in that second year.
Jimmy Domer got a couple of votes when I was mayor.
If you had your years in government to live over, would you do anything differently?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think we had pretty good years.
Who, can you recall, I'm sure you can, who were the members of the city council at the time you were mayor?
Well, let me see.
Or some of them.
Carl Heimel, Bob Schulte, Johnny Knapp, Dick Knapp, I should say, and John Jenkins, Ed Benedict.
Was Ralph Townsend on during your term?
No.
That was before.
That was before, I think. Let's see, it's 5 of them, I think I named. Harold Briggs. And I don't remember.
Is there Bjornstad?
Bjornstad came later. He took the place of either John Jenkins
Ed Benedict?
Yeah.
How about Oliver Sondrall? Was he on during your term?
No.
Or was he on before?
No, he was on before, I think.
Okay. I think a lot of people have served on the city council that the average citizen isn't even aware of today.
Oh, yes, I'm sure. Amos Metzler was on council for a couple of years. He was a teacher here at State. A very good alderman. Yeah. He didn't see things alike, always, but we had great respect for each other.
I understand that Amos passed away several years ago.
Yes.
I don't know. Well,
both he and his wife.
Well, as long as we're asking, I'm going to ask you, were they ill or accident or what?
No, I don't know. They seemed to die. I think they died of an illness. I don't think he was teaching down at college in Oklahoma.
I don't think they were 50 years old, were they?
And we stopped there in that college town 1 year, and I looked them up, but I went to the house and there was nobody home at the time. But I left a note for him, and I had an acknowledgement of that note after I got home. Sorry that he hadn't been there.
This is pretty much the last question, and you, I don't know if you've thought about it or if you, I'll let you digress and answer it any way you want to, Ing, and I'll read it here. What do you feel is your greatest contribution toward making Moorhead better place for all of us to live in?
Well, I suppose there were some, the library was one thing that was important to the city, but I think to maintain the growth and of course the highway number 94, that came at a time too when we had a lot of difficulty with that. Because the state, there were the highway was 3 miles south of the town at that time, and the city had no jurisdiction over it. The only thing the city had any jurisdiction in that highway was to set the grade level. And we refused to set that until we got some concessions from the state. So we had tied that up for about a year. They were only going to allow an ordinary turnoff for 75, and we finally got I think they called it a modified diamond intersection. And then of course we got an intersection 52. That was a better intersection than they had planned for 75. Mm-hmm. And then we wanted a bridge on 20th Street, overpass on 20th Street. Oh, they weren't about to do that because we didn't have any street there. So I got Charlie Romke. He was holding back on adding or incorporating 40 acres he had over there into the city. Charlie and I became pretty good friends, and he gave the city a deed to right away for connecting 20th Street across the highway. So then when we got that, went after the state for a bridge there. Of course, that would improve Charlie Romke's property too. But they wouldn't give us that, but they did agree to give us two crossovers, one highway crossover on 20th Street, and also a walk crossover on 14th Street. Now the city has taken advantage of the 20th Street bridge, of course. The highway department put that in without charge, but they haven't used it.
You mean the railroad?
Yeah, along the railroad. 20th Street, that's a heavy traffic street now.
Okay, I'm not following you here. A bridge on 20th Street?
Yes. We have a bridge across the highway on 20th Street
alongside the railroad tracks. No, that's not there now.
Yes, it's there now. It was built here several years ago. You came over that today when you turned by the American Bank.
I understand. When you were talking 20th Street, I was thinking of 20th Street and Center Avenue. We're going about 2 miles south.
Yeah,
I got you. You're right.
So
yeah, very heavily charged.
The highway department put that bridge in without charge, and they still owe the city a walkover if the city ever wants it. So those are important.
Very long-lasting contributions, yeah. I think.
And I don't know, I suppose the modern, or late in my term as public service commissioner, the city turned the sewer system over to the Public Service Commission. They were having trouble with their sewage plant up north here, and they dumped that in Joe Young's lap. And so we had that for a couple of years, then they took it back again. Or the Public Service Commission wanted to get rid of it too, I guess. But we did revamp the disposal plant up north of town, rebuilt the weirs in that, and discarded the old plant because that was too costly to run. See, the original, that dome-shaped building out there, you remember that? That was, they were supposed to dry the sewage in that, and then it'd come out in sheets, and the sheets were supposed to be saleable for fertilizer.
But you never sold one of them, did you?
It was kind of a lemon, yeah. But the gas from the sewage was supposed to furnish the gas for drying the heat for drying the sewage. But it didn't do the work. So then we ran it and disposed of gave away some of the wet sewage to farmers for fertilizer. And while we rebuilt the weirs in the old plant, the weirs are channels for the water to run through, course through. And I don't know, I suppose there were, must have been 8 or 10 of those weirs in there, channels. And the water zigzagged back and forth in those channels until it came out just about clear. But that was overloaded too. It said the weirs weren't deep enough, so we had to build those up. But it was kind of a problem. But then they started to figure on the new location for a new plant. But that took a long time to develop, so they must have gotten along for pretty good for the old one.
I want to thank you very much. I think you've given us a lot of insight during the 1957 to 1961 time, when Morehead was in quite a state of growth. And we thank you for your interview very much, Ing. Anything else you'd like to add?
Well, I had a whole bunch of clippings on Ruby's consulted those into scrapbooks that history of Moorhead, both through my terms on Public Service Commission and as mayor.
I think that can be found to be a very valuable source of information. Yeah. Thank you. I think that wraps it up.
You're welcome.